Today's daf is Bechorot Yudchet. In order to start up on Sunday morning with this, we have to go back to the Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. What I did on the sheet today, which hopefully will be very helpful, I organized both Mishnayot, the one we're going to learn right now and the one that's going to come at the end of the daf. Today, we'll go through obviously just the first one now and the second one later. So on the first side are all the Mishnayot, and on the second side is the flow of the Gemara. As you can see, there's a few cases. We're going to see, both between this mission and the next one, Rachel shelo bikra v'yelda, okay, one gives birth to a firstborn, and then either she gives birth to two zacharim at the same time, or to a zachar and a nekeva. Okay, maybe we won't read the whole thing inside, but we'll just kind of go through the opinions. So the first case, you have one Rachel, and she gives birth to a firstborn, but she gives birth to two males at the same time. We'll start with that case. They both come out at the same time. The whole question is, there's a four-way machloket you could see here. To Rabbi Yossi Aglili Chachamim, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, what happens? Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Shnehem laKohen. They both go to the Kohen, because it says, Hazcharim laHashem. They learn from there, Berabim. They both go to Hashem. Which means that he holds, Efshar litzamtzem, you can be very exacting, meaning they could actually be born at the same time. There's a whole debate about how to understand this machloket. Efshar litzamtzem, or as Chachamim say, Efshar litzamtzem, we can't be exacting, meaning, okay, so now what exactly does this mean? So what it means is either they can't possibly be born at the same time, or they can actually be born at the same time, but we can't actually distinguish if that's happened or not, okay? In other words, the question is, are they arguing about reality? Is it possible for two to actually come out at the exact same moment? Or are we arguing about the ability of us to discern whether or not we could figure out that they were born at the exact same moment? So, okay, that's, let's say, two ways of understanding what they're saying. So Chachamim say we can't, right, either we can't figure it out or it's not possible. And therefore, only one of them was actually born first, or we can only determine that one was born first. Therefore, ela echad lo ve'echad lekohen. Again, we still don't know which one. And there, and as we can't determine whether they came out at the same time or whether they were born at the same time. Let's say we go with that interpretation. Then, therefore, we give one right out of the two. So one goes to the kohen, and the other, hamotzim echaver alav haraya. The kohen can't prove it, and therefore he doesn't get that one. Rabbi Tarfon says, HaKohen borer lo et hayafa. He takes the nicer of the two. And Rabbi Akiva says, Mishamnim benehem, which means, we're going to see, well, we'll get to the Gemara, who's going to explain what exactly does Rabbi Akiva mean by that. Okay, that's the beginning. Then, what happens? According to the people who say, right, that they only get one, Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, that the coin only gets one, so what happens to the second one? So, Hashini yir'e ad sheyistayev. Okay, so the second one is left to graze until it gets a mum, and then the owners can eat it. Because again, it's safek b'chor, you can't eat it unless it has a mum. Then there's a machloket between Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi, which we're going to see later, that Tanakam is actually Rabbi Meir. Are you chayav b'matanot or not? Because if it's a b'chor, you're patur from matanot. If it's not a b'chor, you're chayav b'matanot. So there's two approaches here. We're going to explain the logic behind them soon. Then, what happens if one of them dies before you've distributed one to each, right, based on Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva? So Rabbi Tarfon says, Yachloku, we split it 50-50. Rabbi Akiva says, Amosim Echaver Ola Paraya. This seems to go against what Rabbi Tarfon said before. If Rabbi Tarfon said, you get the nicer ones, then we figure out, right, which one was nicer or which one, if one of them dies. So anyway, we're going to have to see why Rabbi Tarfon seems to disagree with what he says earlier. Okay, that was the first case. If the animal gave birth to two males. What if it's a zachar and a keva? Well, then it's safek b'chor. The kohen doesn't get anything. Okay. And then you would have the same thing with the safek about this. You know, the one that the owner gets, the zachar that the owner gets to keep. Again, you're ad sheyistayev and all that. The next case in the Mishnah was shtei rechelav shelo bikru v'yaldu. You have right. Oh, actually, this is the end of the Mishnah. Okay, so we'll stop there, but I'll just kind of preface it by saying the next two cases are going to be, you have two animals, both giving born to firstborns, but you don't know which, right, then there's two zacharim, there's zachar and nekeva, there's two zacharim and a nekeva, right, let's say there's multiple births with one of them and not the other, what if there's two nekevot and zachar, okay, we're going to go through all different possibilities, and then there's going to be, you have two rechelim, but one of them already had offspring and the other one didn't, and they give birth at the same time, and then again, what if it's two Zecharim, what if it's Zecharim and Keva, what are we going to do? Okay, so now the Gemara went into, and here I organized a little of what was in yesterday's stuff, but I'm not going to go through all of those cases, but just so you see it and you can review it using the sheet. The question was, because we're still in the middle of this question, that's why I started with this. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, so the Gemara says, well, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that these two, what does it mean, bidei shamayim? Well, these two animals were born, so to speak, bidei shamayim, right? It wasn't a man-initiated act. So if Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that bidei shamayim afshar letzamtzem, v'kol shekein bidei adam, then we can assume, right, if the act can happen, you know, naturally, then all the more so, man can or woman can decide to do an act and be very careful. If it can be measurably at the same time, if it kind of happens by naturally, then of course, if we intend it to happen at the exact same time, some sort of act, right, not obviously giving birth to two offspring of the animal, but meaning if a man were to do some act, they could actually be exacting about it. But Rabbanan, let's say bidei shamayim, if shalat samtzeim, what would they say about bidei adam? Okay, so there was a suggestion, a bunch of sources were brought to suggest, and they all get rejected until we get to finally the end. So right now we're going to start four lines from the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Bet. Tashma. Nimsa mechuvan, okay, this is the fourth source they're bringing. Nimsa mechuvan ben shtei ayarot. We're now talking about Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa is where somebody dies in between two cities and you measure to the closest city, and then whoever city it's closest to, since we don't know who killed the person, we take an Egla and we break its neck, and the Ziknei Ha'ir come and they say, you know, we're not responsible. But what if, when they measure, Nimtza Mechuvan Ben Shtei Ayarot, it's exactly in the middle, again, here we're going to see, can man be exacting? Could they be exacting in their measurements? So, if you find it exactly between two cities, shtehem mivi'ot shtei eglot, divrei Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer says, each one brings an egla. Okay, now, my time, is this not lav mishum de kasavar bidei adam efshar letzamtzem? Number one, you'd have to hold that for sure they can measure exactly. And you'd have to say, ukrova, what does it say in the pasuk? Vahaita ha'ir hakrova, which is singular. Okay, so you might think, even if you could be exacting, maybe it's still only if there's one city that's close and not if there's two. But he must hold ukrova afilu krovot. So the assumption is the reason he says each city brings an egla arufa is because, number one, we could be exacting. We're not going to be able to be mchayev you if we can't be exacting and measure 100% exactly to the dot that these two are equidistant from the dead body. And you'd have to hold that even though it says krovah in the pasuk, it means it could even mean if there's two cities, krovot. So that's their assumption, which would then show, at least the Rabbi Lezer holds, right, bidei adam afshar letzamtzem, and we can assume that that would match Rabbanan's opinion. So now they say, well, you could say very simply, Rabbi Lezer savar laka Rabbi Yossi Aglili, damar afshar letzamtzem bidei shamayim, v'kol shekein bidei adam. You don't, just because Rabbi Lezer says this doesn't mean this is Chachamim's opinion. Rabbi Lezer could hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and that obviously then doesn't prove anything about what Chachamim would say. Because again, our whole question is, if Chachamim say that you can't be mitzamtzem bidei shamayim, maybe though we can't assume a natural occurrence will happen at the same time, but if we intend it to be so, maybe we can. But this can't prove it because Rabbi Lezer, we could simply hold, doesn't hold like Chachamim on this issue. Sides with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Nema kitanai. So then they say, well, then let's just suggest that this is a machloka tanaim. Dafka about our question. Can we say that afshar letzamtzem bidei shamayim according to Chachamim? How could we see this? Because look, it says in another source, now we're going to see three basic sources about this exact same issue, about the egla rufa. So the first one, we just saw Rabbi Lezer's opinion, which was shtehem mivim shtei eglot. Now we're going to see an opinion of someone who disagrees with Rabbi Lezer. Nimtza mechuvan ben shtei ayarot, lo hayu orfim. Tanakhama says, we don't break the neck at all. Rabbi Lezer savar, shtehem mivyot shtei eglot. Right, they both bring. Okay, here I also charted this out on the sheet if it helps you. So my love, what's the assumption right now? Their whole machloket is, can we measure exactly? Tanakhama says, you don't do egla rufa because we can't measure exactly, and therefore we don't know which one is actually closer. We assume they're not both closer, and therefore, that's what we're assuming. So therefore, you don't do it at all. And Rabbi Eliezer holds, efshar letzamtzem, and therefore we'd say it's a machloket tana'im. So now they say, v'tisbara, is this really what you think the machloket's about? There's a better solution. If you can't figure out, if we say then there's a better solution to just don't do it. It's a mitzvah d'oraita. We want to do it. So how can we do it? Well, we don't know if it's city A or city B. So what's the best option? Yaviu egla achat b'shutfut. Let both cities together bring an egla, do the egla arufa ceremony, v'yitnu, and they'll make a tnai. Okay, not yitnu, they'll give, right? They'll make a tnai. They'll say, well, if it's yours, your city, then this was for you. And if it's our city, then it was for us. Right? We've seen this many times when there's suffix, and then we make a stipulation. So that would have been a much better solution. If you really held the yifshah that's I'm saying, that means that one of them is actually chayav. If one of them is chayav, how could we just avoid doing this mitzvah? And then it's just because we can't measure properly? Well, come up with a solution then. Ela lahani tnai de kulei alma efshar letzamtzem. And therefore, we're going to assume that we could read this some other way, and they all agree that efshar letzamtzem, and you can't say that it's a machloket tana'im. That was what we were trying to suggest. V'hacha, what's the machloket then? If you remember, what do we say? Rabbi Lezer has to hold two things. He has to say, number one, that efshar letzamtzem, we can measure exactly, and then, if we can measure exactly, you now have two cities. But it's the pasuk said krovah. So he'd say krovah v'pil krovot. And obviously, what will Tanakhama say? Oh, it's only a mitzvah when there's one city. But if there's two cities, then it's not. So hacha b'krovah v'lo krovot kamiflege. The Tanakhama savar krovah v'lo krovot. Right? Tanakhama holds it's only ha'ira krovah and not if there's two cities that are close. Then you just don't do it at all. Rabbi Lezer savar krovah v'filu krovot. Okay? And therefore, it doesn't really help us because both these opinions hold by efshar letzamtzem. It still doesn't necessarily prove anything about what Chachamim would hold, because maybe neither of these opinions, maybe both these opinions are according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and we can't say it's a machloket tana'im because that's not necessarily the reason why Rabbi Tanakhama says their opinion. So therefore, right, and we even kind of proved it's really not because they'd have a better solution. So now we get back to our basic question. So my havela, okay, you know, this is sometimes the Gemara gets a little frustrated and says, well, what's the deal? So Amar of Chiyah bar Avin, Amar of Amram. Now he brings our final source, which now we're going to actually see. Tana. Okay, there's a source that says, Nimsa mechuvam ben shtei ayarot. You see how many versions there were to this whole scenario. Rabbi Lezer always stays the same, but the person who argues with him changes a little bit. Rabbi Lezer omer shtehem miviot shtei eglot. Bechachamim omrim, yaviu egla habeshutfut, v'yitnu. Ah, they dafka say what we suggested, Tanakhama there should have said. So we now see that really there's three opinions here. So now, my kasavre rabbanan, what a chachamim hold? I kasavre rabbanan de efshar letzamtzem, if they hold, really you can measure exactly. U krovava afilu krovot. And he holds, right? Well, then you get to Rabbi Lezer, who holds leite tarte. Then you bring two, because we can measure exactly, and it's krovava afilu krovot. The I krovava lo krovot, and if he holds, it's only krovan singular, and it can't be if there's two cities. Well, then afilu chagalo laite, then even one shouldn't bring. Right? The fact that they said one should bring, right, then they should match the Tanakhama we saw a minute ago, who said lo hayorfim at all. So therefore, elalav shmamina, what must we hold? Kasavre rabban, what must we understand from here? Kasavre rabban and if shadat samsem vafilu bidei adam shmamina. The only way to understand chachamim here, and notice, it's chachamim. It's not a Tanakhama who could be just one person's opinion. Here it dafka says chachamim. The only possible reason why they would have said, yaviu egla habashutfut v'yitnu, would be because yif shadat samsem, and therefore we're not sure which one is the right one. Okay. Moving on in the mission now to Rabbi Tarfon. So what did we say? Remember, there were four opinions about what to do about these two scharim that came out at the same time. We have Rabbi Yossi and Kalil and Chachamim arguing about if Shadat Samsem, what we have Shadat Samsem. Then we have Rabbi Tarfon who said, the coin takes the nicer one, and Rabbi Akiva said, Mishamnim Benehem. So first we'll start with Rabbi Tarfon, who we understand, but we don't understand why, and then we'll get to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Kohen Borerlo Etayafa. He takes the nicer of the two. My time into Rabbi Tarfon. Kasavar Hahu debarya nafak bereisha. The assumption is whichever one was healthier must have been the one that came out first, okay? Interesting whether this is actually accurate, but the assumption is, right, if that was the stronger one, that must have been the one, right, that actually, right, pushed himself out first. Or Rabbi Akiva Omer, Misham Nimbenen. So Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, HaKohen Notel Chusha. Okay, what does he say? The reverse. The Kohen takes the weaker one. Amar Le Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Le Rabbi Yochanan. So now he says, first he says it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. He holds the exact opposite of Rabbi Tarfon. He takes the weaker one. But now he says, V'ha'ana Mishamnim Benehem Tnan. But it says, Mishamnim Benehem. Okay, which the assumption is, it sounds like, that you take the, right, I'm trying to remember now what the original assumption is. Mishamnim Benehem. Right, so Dimashma Rashi says, Masha Yafeh Hashur Mechabero, V'oto Damim Yachloku. In other words, Mishamnim is they evaluate, which is the better of the two. And then you split, the assumption is you take the difference between the two, and then as one gets the other, and then you split the difference between the two. It sounds like 50-50 split. It's just you can't split the animals 50-50 because one is stronger and one is weaker. So that's what it sounds like. So now he says, so now here's the insulting comment coming. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan was from Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba started in Babel and then moved to Eretz Yisrael. So here comes the Babylonian, you know, the Eretz Yisraelim insulting the Babylonians. Amar le, ad achalt kafniata bebabel, targim nemisefa. While you were busy eating your, for now, there's a question about what exactly this means. Okay, if while you were still eating your dates in Babel and kind of, you know, Rashi says, aden atzmecha, you know, and sitting there eating luxuriously in Babel, which, by the way, matches, you know, in Babel, things were much better than in Eretz Yisrael, so they have more wealth and other things. You know, while you guys were eating your wealthy food there, you know, I already figured out the answer from the Seifa. Okay? That's one way of reading it. Some people say kafniata are bad dates, and that it's dafka like an, it's not actually talking about food, it's saying you're bad Torah. Okay? Like, we really know what we're talking about. Now, why? Does Katani Seifa mate achad mehem, Rabbi Tarfon Omer Yachloku, Rabbi Akiva Omer Hamotzi Mechafiro Alav Haraya? The Seifa says, and this case was talking about if they're both in front of you, what do you do? Right? So, Rabbi Yochanan said that according to Rabbi Akiva, you take the weaker one. Right? And Rabbi Tarfon had said, obviously, you take the stronger one. And Rabbi Chia thought it meant you split it 50-50. So now he says, look at the Seifa. At the Seifa, once one of them dies, what happens? Rabbi Tarfon says you split it 50-50. Rabbi Akiva says, Hamotzi mechaveiro alav haraya. Now, v'isal kadatach mishamnim b'nehem v'ki adade plige hachanami liflegu gabe hadade. Now, then, right, if you said mishamnim b'nehem means you split it, then also now you should split it, right? You should split the value of the one that was left. Ela my mishamnim shuman yehe benehem. You make an evaluation, okay, but not the evaluation we thought before. De amar le kohen ay teraya de bechorhu v'shakil. He says, here, okay, figure out which one is stronger, which one is weaker, and then say to the Kohen, okay, prove to me that you're deserving of the bigger one. And since he can't prove it, again, because he doesn't hold like Rabbi Tarfon, that that's any bit of proof that the stronger one's going to come out first, so the Kohen can't prove it, and therefore he gets the weaker one, the Kohen. Okay, so that's how he gets his opinion, and that's how we explain Mishamnim Benehem. It's a bit of a weakness in here, which is also according to Rabbi Tarfon, you have to be Mishamnim Benehem and see which is stronger, which is weaker. If Mishamnim means you evaluate, meaning you kind of put them in front of you and say which is stronger, which is weaker, Rabbi Tarfon also thinks that that's the case. So there's a bit of a weakness here, but they say it doesn't really make sense with the end of the Mishnah, so there's no other way to explain it. Okay, Vasheni. Now we're up to Vasheni Yire Ad Shi Yisteev V'Chayav B'Matanot Rabbi Yossi Poter. Okay, so now what did we say? The second one that goes to the owner, right? The owner gets to keep. What do? Right? Whether it's the weaker or the stronger, we leave it till it gets a mum. And then when he shechts it, remember, only after you shecht it, you have to give the matanot, the tzroa l'chayayim and keva, those parts of the animal, to the kohen. So he's actually chayav in matanot, even though if it was b'chor, you'd be patur. Rabbi Yossi says you're actually patur because it's safek b'chor. Since it's safek b'chor, you're patur. So I already told you that the chayav b'matanot, the Tanakama, is Rabbi Meir, and that's how the Gemara is going to say it. We're going to see from the upcoming Mishnah that's Rabbi Meir, and also Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, so reasonable to say. So my time is Rabbi Meir. You have to know that, otherwise you wouldn't say where's Rabbi Meir, right? So what's the reason for Rabbi Meir, who says chayav b'matanot? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ho'il v'kohen ba'alav mishnei tzadim. This is what we call a miman afshach. Either way you look at it, the kohen should be getting the zroah l'chayayim and kevah. Why? Da'amar le'ibachor hu. This is something. Exactly. Kulei didihi. All belongs to me. I lo b'chor hu. Havli matanot mine. And if it's not a b'chor, then give me the matanot. For Rabbi Yossi, my time. So then what's Rabbi Yossi's answer? So Rabbi Yossi says, why does he say you're not chayav matanot? Rabbi Meir makes a compelling argument. Amarava, asu she'eno zoche kezoche. If a kohen has an animal and it gets a mum and he sells it to a Jew, right? Let's say he has a right. This is, does it have to be a bechor? One second. Right. I guess in this case, if a kohen had a bechor, okay, and then he sold it to a Jew. So at that point, what happens? The Jew, since it already belonged to the Kohen, he's not chayav in zroah l'chayayim and kevah, he's not chayav in matanot. So what Rabbi Yossi says is, since he gave one to the Kohen, and one he kept for himself, the one he kept for himself was as if, since they kind of had this deal, well, we're not sure which is which, it was as if the Kohen gave him zchuyot to that directly. So it was as if, it was like the case where, right, it's as if it got to the hands of the Kohen already, even though it didn't, even though it never got into the Kohen's hands. The assumption is, since it was the suffix, which one was which, it was as if one he gives to the Kohen is maybe this is your bechor, and the other one, it kind of gives it to the Kohen, and the Kohen gives it back to him and says, well, you know, it's as if he had sold it to him. Obviously, he didn't sell it to him, but it's like the case if one had sold it to Yisrael, one to Gadamu, which then the Yisrael would be able to eat and not have to give matanot. So Amar Rabbi Elazar. Now we're going to have, okay, for this, it's the last chart on the page. Okay, you're going to see it's a long mahalach here. And we're going to have two cases where Hakol Modim bid this case. Rabbi Elazar is going to say one case. Rabbi Papa is going to say a different case. And then we're going to go through, well, who's Modeda who? And then they're going to say, well, this doesn't make any sense. Why would you say this? Like, isn't it obvious? And then they're going to explain why it wasn't obvious. And then they're going to raise a contradiction. And then they're going to resolve it. That's going to be the same flow for the next two sections. Okay? For this section and the next. Or this statement and the next statement. So now we're about 10 lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Hakol modim b'safek b'chor she'ein chalipim b'yad kohen. Shechayav v'matanot. Everyone agrees in a sefek b'chor where there isn't a case where the kohen gets. What did we just explain? If there's two animals, two b'chors, right? To the sefek, you don't know. So you give one to the kohen and one to the Yisrael. One stays in the hands of the baalim. In that case, what did Rabbi Yossi say? That you're patur from matanot because since there was this sefek, right? It was as if he was zochet to the one that you kept. So now we say, which kind of sounds obvious, which is why the Gemara is going to say it's obvious, that if there isn't chalipim b'yad kohen, the kohen doesn't end up with any b'chor, then if it's a safek, then the owner is going to be chayav and matanot, because we go back to what Rabbi Meir says, which is, what do we say, right? Either which way, either it's a b'chor, and then the kohen is deserving of the whole animal, or it's not a b'chor, in which case the kohen gets his matanot. So either which way. So that's what he says. Hakol modim b'safek b'chor she'ein chalipim b'yad kohen. Right? He doesn't have another one in his hands. Shechayav b'matanot. So now they say hakol modim man. Who's this hakol modim? Hakol modim really means one guy is mode to the other. It must be Rabbi Yossi. But if you say that, pshita, that's obvious. Ad kamlo kapata Rabbi Yossi. Where we saw Rabbi Yossi said your pata for matanot is only hatam there. Ella de chalipim biyad kohen. Da'asu she'eno zocheh kezocheh. The only case he said it was when the kohen has another animal in its stead. And then we looked at it as if, right, he was mezakeh him in one, right? In other words, because he took one, it was as if he kind of took the other and then gave it back to the Yisrael. Aval en chalipim biyad kohen, lo. So therefore, how could you say al kol modim? Why would you even say it? It's totally obvious. So now they're saying, why wouldn't it be totally obvious? Because ma'u detema, you might have thought, tama de Rabbi Yossi de kasavar de imachayevet leba matanot ati li de gizav avoda. Af agav de enchalib in biyad kohen. Kamashmanan. You might have thought that maybe Rabbi Yossi's reasoning was different. Maybe his logic was that if we're mechayev you b'matanoth, then you're going to assume what? This is total chulin, and it's not, it doesn't have anything of b'chor on it. Remember, this was safek b'chor. You're not sure if it's b'chor. What did we say always safek b'chor? When there's just one animal, so you don't have to give it to the kohen, because I'm motzi mechaveh or alav haraya. You can keep it. But it has status of kedusha on it, and you can't do giza v'avoda with it, right? There's certain things about it. You have to gear ad she yistaev and all that. So you might have thought that if we're going to say your chayav matanot, then he might think that it's mutar b'giza v'avoda. Okay, and therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, you're pacha for matanot for that reason, and not only, and therefore you might have thought he says it across the board, even when en chalik ben biyad kohen. And therefore, kamash malan, that's why Rabbi Elazar said, hakol modim safek b'chor. Okay, so we resolve now why it's a chidush. Okay, because otherwise it seemed fairly obvious. So now the Gemara says, how could you suggest that that's Rabbi Yossi's reasoning? Doesn't it say in the Seifa? This is the next Mishnah. Shaya Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol shechalifav biyad kohen patur min hamatanot, v'Rabbi Meir mechayev. So what does that seem to imply? It says, Rabbi Yossi says explicitly, if the chalipav are biyad kohen, you're patur for matanot, which sounds very obvious that what? Chalipav biyad kohen in, right? Then you'll be patur for matanot, but ain chalipav biyad kohen lo. So again, it sounds like, right, Rabbi Yossi wouldn't agree with Rabbi Meir in the case, it would be obvious from the Mishnah that he agrees with Rabbi Meir in the case of Ein Chalipav Biyad Kohen, in which case, again, why would Rabbi Elazar the Amora start telling us something that's totally obvious? That Safek Bechor She'ein Chalipav Biyad Kohen Chayav HaMatanot. It's explicit in our Mishnah. So now they say like this. Ma'u Detema, you might have thought that when Rabbi Yossi says, Kol She'chalipav Biyad Kohen Patur Min HaMatanot in the next Mishnah, he's talking, L'dvarav de Rabbi Meir Ka'amar Lei. Right? He's talking only according to Rabbi Meir. He's saying, shouldn't you at least agree with me in the case of Chalipav Biyad Kohen that you're going to be patur? Because again, right, it was as if he was mezakehem, and then he gave him back the animal, which in that case you'd be patur from matano, right? And he says like this, L'didi, according to me, afilu en chalipim biyad kohen. Right, this goes back to what we suggested earlier, which is my real reason why I think you're patur, is because if I say you're chayav and matanot, people will think it's total chulin, they'll end up doing gizav avoda. Right, this is a good case of conflict of interest. On the one hand, you're supposed to give it to the kohen. On the other hand, we're worried that people are going to misuse this, and we'd rather that than you giving the matanot to the kohen. It's, by the way, another case we had this whole question with Matnot Kehuna and how nobody does it anymore. It's another kind of loophole about it, that in this kind of case, you'd also be patur. We see that there were a lot of kind of exemptions or ways that people stopped doing it. Right, like if the wife was a Bat Kohen, that also, remember, they found all sorts of exemptions. This is like another way where they found an exemption. Again, only according to Rabbi Yossi, but then he's saying, but lididcha, but at least according to you, I know you disagree with me on that point, but odilimia, but at least admit to me that you would agree with me, hecha dechalipin biyad kohen de'asu she'eno zoche kezoche. Right, because if the kohen has one animal, then it's as if they did this esek between them, and as if he gave him rights to both, but then took one back. And then, in that case, you would at least agree with me. And then, obviously, v'amar le Rabbi Meir lo. And the Mishnah says no, Rabbi Meir doesn't agree with him anyway. Okay, so therefore, we end up with what case Rabbi Elazar is talking about. Who's he talking about, and why there's a chidush in what he says? Second, this is going to be, like I said, the exact same structure, just with a different case and with different people. Amar Papa, hakol modim besafek maser shepatur min matanot. If you have safek maser behema, you're going to be patur from matanot. Hakol modim man, again, who's this hakol modim? Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir now is the one who's going to agree to Rabbi Yossi. So now they say pshita. Why? Why would it be pshita that you be patur? As ad kan lo kamachayev Rabbi Meir hatam ela besafek bechor ho ilu baalav kohen mishnei tzedim. It's only in a safek b'chor, because b'chor goes to the kohen, And if it's not Bechor, then the Kohen gets the Matanot. Aval Safek Maaser, lo, but Safek Maaser, Maaser Behemah doesn't go to the Kohen. So therefore, he doesn't have rights to the animal necessarily. So therefore, you wouldn't say it. So therefore, it's totally obvious, Rabbi Meir would say this. So again, what's Rav Papa's Chidush? So we're going to give a Chidush and then again reject it and then answer it. Mahu detema tamad Rabbi Meir de lo tishtakach torat matanot. Afilu Safek Maaser nami. Ka mashmalan. So what's the reason? Maybe the concern of Rabbi Meir is we don't want people to forget about Matanot Kiuna. So therefore, we make him do it anyway, even though he's not necessarily Chayav. We're going to make him do it. Maybe this is the reaction to so many people not doing Matanot, to make sure that we don't forget to do Matanot Kiuna. And therefore, even Safek Maaser, you're going to have to give Matanot, even though, right, it's not for the same reason we saw before. So again, they say, Umi matzid amar hachi, but can you really say this? Bahaktani seifa. Again, they're going to quote the end of the next, meaning the end of the Mishnah, which is really the upcoming Mishnah. Shahaya Rabbi Yossi Omer, kochach shachalifa biyad kohen patur min hamatanot, for Rabbi Meir Machayev. So what does it sound like? It's in the case right here, what can we assume? That because he says, kol shachalifa biyad kohen, and Rabbi Meir's Machayev, it sounds like, according to this, what would be our assumption? Why is it obvious from here? Right. In other words, if the issue was that we're worried that people are going to forget Matanot, then Rabbi Yossi wouldn't base his opinion on Kol shechalipah biyad kohen patur min hamatanot. He'd just say, if he disagreed, he'd say, across the board, you don't have to do matanot. Right? If the whole concern is we're worried about tishkach matanot, and Rabbi Yossi disagrees and said, no, we're not worried, then he should disagree in any case, and not specifically, it shouldn't be that their machloket is specifically in that case. And therefore it doesn't make sense that that's what he's saying. So now they're going to say, oh no, you could still say that, because Ma'u detema Rabbi Meir, afilu safek maaser machayev, v'had demiflegei b'chalipin lehodiyacha kocho de Rabbi Yossi de patar afilu hecha de kohen ba'alav mishnei tzadim. Kamashmalan. Really, in maaser, the machloket is you're patur for matanot or not, because we worried about tishkach Torah, right? Or you're going to forget about matanot. Rabbi Yossi says, I don't care. But then the Mishnah brings specifically the case for Khalifa Biyad Kohen to show that even in that case, where in theory, even if you're not worried about Tishtakach Torah Matanot, in theory, Rabbi Yossi should agree that no matter what, the Kohen should get Matanot in this case. And therefore, it's to teach you, even Rabbi Yossi still thinks you're exempt in that case, even when, right, there's two animals and there's this case. So even then, the Kohen, not even there's two animals, but even when Kohen ba'alav mishnei tzadim, the Kohen can either get it because it's Bechor, or he can get it because it's not Bechor, in which case he gets Matanot. Even then, when it's so obvious he should have to give it, he still isn't Mechayev. So there, meaning the focus on that is all Rabbi Yossi, which doesn't tell us anything necessarily about Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir could hold, no, my whole reason in general is shalot tishtakach Torah Matanot. And it's only Rabbi Yossi who has this other thing. Not only do I not care about that, but I don't even care if the Kohen has full rights to it. I'm still going to say no, because I view this as if there was this kind of transaction done between the two, and therefore, even in that case, I'm not going to be Mechayev. Okay. So therefore, we've explained now what HaKol Modim and Rabbi Elazar about Safek Bechor, She'en Chalipin B'Yad Kohen She'chayav Matanot, and HaKol Modim according to Rav Papa, that Safek Maaser, you're Patur Min HaMatanot. Okay, and what the chidush is each time. Okay, continuing. Now we're going to the machloket, Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva at the end of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah gave the case again, there's two males that are born at the exact same moment. Right, we started with Rabbi Yossi Aglil and Chachamim have a machloket, if Charlotte's the same or not. Rabbi Tarfon says he gets the better one, the Kohen, and Rabbi Akiva says he gets the worse one. And then we said in the second one that the Baalim get to keep, right? Then you're at Shistaev, Machloka Tanakama Rabbi Yossi, are you Chayav Matanot or not? Then what if one of them dies? Rabbi Tarfon says, we split the difference. We split the one that's left. Rabbi Akiva says, Hamotzi Mechaveo Alav Haraya, right? Meaning whoever has it gets to keep it. So now we're going to talk about Rabbi Tarfon, who seems to contradict what he said earlier in the Mishnah. Meitachav Mehem, Rabbi Tarfon Omer Yachloku. Amayachlochu. Why should they split it 50-50? Nechze ishamein meat. Was it the fatter one that died? In which case, de kohen who, right? That belonged to the kohen. V'hai de'ika de'balabayit. And the one that's left then belongs to the balabayit. Because if Rabbi Tarfon said earlier, the kohen chooses the better one, well, if the better one died, well, then tough luck on the kohen. And ikachush meat. And if the weaker one died, then de'balabayit meat. Then it's the balabayits that died. V'hai de'ika de'kohen who, right? And the one that's left is the kohen's. So how do we reconcile this opinion of Rabbi Tarfon with the earlier opinion? Here's a fascinating answer. I'm Rabbi Armi, Chazarbo Rabbi Tarfon. Why is this a fascinating answer? Well, it's because I can understand he changed his mind. But if he changes his mind, how do we still have his original? We have both his opinions almost right next to each other in the Mishnah. So this is a classic case of where they all explain that Mishnah lo zazamim koma. We've had this a number of times where the Gemara will say, oh, based on some other source, he must have changed his mind. Why does it still say this in the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah was already kind of people, you know, repeated it, knew it, and let's leave it the way it was, even though he changed his mind. Here, you'd have to kind of say maybe this Mishnah was pieced together by two separate time periods. There were the people who taught that first Mishnah, and then Rabbi Tarfon changed his mind, and there were people who taught the second case of the Mishnah, and they kind of got put together, because otherwise it doesn't make sense to say they were put it all together at the same time, historically. So it must be there were two different parts that ended up getting combined, and that's it, and then he must have changed his mind in between. Rabbi Akiva Omer HaMutzim Echaver Olav HaRaya. I'm a Rabbi Chia. Mashal de Rabbi Tarfon Lama Davar Domen. Okay, how do we explain Rabbi Tarfon? It's like this. L'shnayim shivkidu etzel ro'eh. It's like two people gave a pikadon to a ro'eh, and then the ro'eh doesn't remember whose was whose. Meniach ro'eh b'nehem u'mistalek. What does the ro'eh do? He leaves it in the middle, and he leaves. Okay, now there's a bit of a debate here what the issue is, right? Here, normally, meniach ro'eh b'nehem, you would say kol da'alim gvar. This is something we've seen in Baba Metzia and other cases where, you know, whoever's stronger wins. You know, he kind of leaves it and whoever's stronger wins. Here we actually say, right, we don't say that, right? What does he say? Yachloku, we split it 50-50. But it's kind of like the Ro'eh leaves it and, right, leaves it in between. And then there's another problem, which is there's another source that says if that actually happens, the Ro'eh is responsible, because if you left your, right, he's the one who's supposed to keep track who gave him what. It's really his responsibility. So they claim it has to be a case where they left it with him, but he didn't know that they were leaving it with him to watch, and that's why he's not responsible. Otherwise, really, the Ro'eh should be responsible. So there's a bit of an issue with this compared to other sources. But anyway, it's like that. And then the assumption is that the case that Rabbi Tarfon's talking about is not what we thought, but it's that they actually, it's not just a mashal, it's actually a case where they left it in some third party, and it wasn't in the possession of either one of them at the time. U'mashal de Rabbi Kiva lama davar domeh, de'achad shehipkid etza balabayit. It's where somebody left it in the hands of the balabayit. Shamotzim echaver olav haraya, because then it's in the hands of the balabayit, and then hamotzim echaver olav haraya, which shows that they're not really, right? They're not really arguing. It's different situations. So then they say, alabamai pligi. Right? So then, what's their machloket? Rabbi Akiva palig b'shnayim shivkidu etza ro'eh, sheminiach ro'eh u'mistalek. Rabbi Tarfon palig b'echad shivkid etza balabayit. So, you then say,
they're just restating the previous.
Right, they're just right. If they're the basic question is right, it sound right. This is a question, which is exactly what I said. Then there's real no machloket. If they're each talking about different scenarios, then there's really no machloket. So I'm a rabba be'itamar papa hakol mudin. So now they're going to explain. No, really, this is the way it works. They both agree. B'shnayim shifkidu etzel ro'eh shemiliach ro'eh b'nehem u'mustalek. They both agree that if it was in someone's possession, right, a third party, then you'd leave it. He would leave it and. You know, they split it 50-50. Ube'echad shivkid etzel balabayit, and if it was etzel the balabayit still, then amotzi mechaver olav harayit. And it would stick with the balabayit, and the kohen wouldn't get anything. Lo nechleku ela b'chatzar balabayit b'ro'eh kohen. It's where the animal was in the chatzar balabayit, and the ro'eh, who took care of it, was a kohen, and they had a deal between him that he would get every bechor that was born. Like, he was kind of the shepherd, and he would be zoched all the... And therefore, the chatzar of the balabayit is makne to the kohen. So Rabbi Tarfon savar, aknuye ka makne le b'chatzar. V'nichale de lit'ave mitzvah b'mamoneh. In other words, it's it's in the interest of the balabayit to allow the mitzvah to happen immediately. What he says is, as soon as the animal is born, it belongs to you. So therefore, as soon as the animal is born, the kohen gets zchuyot to it. That's Rabbi Tarfon. And therefore, v'havelei k'shnayim shifkidu etzah ro'eh, sheminiach ro'eh b'neihem u'mistaleh. Since this was a safek case, it's in the chatzir of the balabayit, but the kohen has rights to it also, but it's a safek. So now we're at this in-between, so yachloku. It's kind of like being in a third party. Rabbi Akiva savar kavan de'it le'pseida lo machne le'midayim. He wasn't machne him anything, because it's a hefseid for him. In other words, yes, he was machne maybe a badai b'chor, but he's not going to be machne to the kohen if it's going to cause him all sorts of problems in the future, like this. So of course he wasn't machne his chatzir to the kohen, because in the end it might cause him a loss, like in this case. The havele, and therefore it's like echad shefkid etzah balabayit shamotzim chaver alav harayah. And therefore it's really considered in his possession. Okay, we're going to do a little bit of the Mishnah. We'll see if we can get through it. It should be fairly simple because it's very similar to what we saw before. Shtei rechelav shelo b'kru. Now we have two animals that haven't yet given birth. Okay, again, on the first side of the sheet, you can see that it charted out. It's the second chart. V'yaldu shnei zcharim. So they give birth to two males. Shnehem lakohen. Both of them go to the kohen because they're obviously both b'chor. Zachar u'nikeva, very simply. Zachar lakohen, right? Because there is no b'chor by nikevot. Shnei zcharim v'nikeva achad. What if two were born at the same time and one was born, right? Two were born from one animal at the same time and one was born at the same, maybe, you know, from the other animal. So now we don't know, though, what the makeup was. Echad lo v'echad l'kohen. Okay, there's two zcharim, so again, they're suffix. So one goes to him, one goes to the kohen. Rabbi Tarfon omer kohen v'orer lo atayefer. Rabbi Akiva omer b'shamnim b'nehem. Again, it's a question of, right, if we think one was born first, right, which was the one, if we assume they both came from the same animal, so we can have the same machloket. Was it the weaker? Does he get the weaker or the stronger? Basheni yirad sheyiseh b'chayav b'matano. Rabbi Yossi poter. This is just review of what we saw before, right? The same thing happens to the second one. Meit echad mehem. Again, the same machloket. If the one were to die, Rabbi Tarfon omer achloka. Rabbi Akiva omer mitziv mechaver alav haraya. Shtei nekevot v'zachar. What if there's two females and a male? O shnei zcharim u'shtei nekevot. Or there's two males and two females. Ein kan lekohen klum, because it's not clear that any of them are supposed to go to the kohen, because it could be the two nekevot were born first. Next scenario. Echad bikra v'echad shelo bikra. Two animals. One is giving birth to a firstborn, and one is not. One already had offspring. V'yalda shnei zcharim. So again, echad lo v'echad lekohen. Rabbi Tarfon omer kohen borer lo et ha-yafeh, which we're going to struggle with a little bit because we said, why did he say the yafeh? Because the first one came out first. Here it's two different animals. Rabbi Akiva omer mishamnim b'nehem, right? He gets the weaker one. Vasheni yirad shisteh b'chayab b'matano. Rabbi Yossi potersh. Rabbi Yossi omer kol shechalifav. Here this is review because we already quoted this. Kol shechalifav b'yad kohen patur min ha-matano. If the kohen has one, right, the other one, then you're patur from matano because we view it as an esek kind of thing. V'rabbi Meir machayev. Rabbi Tarfon omer yachloku, Rabbi Akiva omer mitzim chaver alav haraya. Exact same thing, right? If one dies, what do we do? Zacharu nekeva, if, right? So now you have one that gave birth to a firstborn and one that didn't, and now you have one zachar and one nekeva. So ain kan lekoin klum, because again, hamitzim chaver alav haraya, he has no way to prove it. Okay, we'll do that. I was hoping to finish the Gemara on this, but we'll do that tomorrow and finish it up.